Tommy Little. Boom, 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 boom. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, it's Friday's where it's at with Carrie and Tommy.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, Carrie and everybody.
We've got a big show ahead today.
Yes, 100K on the line again and a fascinating interview later in the show, Carrie.
One of those interviews where you can ask, nothing's off limits. You can ask anything you want to somebody. Mm. Should we give people a clue who we're speaking to?
Yes. Can I just say the bit that I think is most fascinating? Mm-hmm. They've spent time in a Thai prison.
A long time.
And I have many a question.
I'm also going to give you an update on how things are going with my training for the Great Wall of China Marathon. Hint, not well.
You've been training, though.
I have been training, but whether the training's been well is another question. Okay. I'm currently a bit immobile, so it's not a good sign.
Okay.
I've got a sore foot, knee, lower back, and side ab.
Side abs?
Not both, just one.
Have you been running with side abs again?
I must be running in a weird way.
How many of those pains and aches were there before you started running?
I'm getting old, so there's often, I wouldn't say there'd be a day where there wasn't a niggle of some sort.
There's niggles
just moves
constantly.
Around the body.
Yes.
Which is good. Likes to keep me guessing, you know, and likes to keep me going to different appointments for varying different... Physios, osteos, you know.
Yes, if it helps, I'm in the same space. We are both on the slow but steady decline to death.
Yes, I'd like to be on the decline of the Great Wall, but I've still got to do the incline. That's what I'll update you on later in the show. But right now.
Don't get me. I got 99 problems. Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Drop it like it's hot.
Big Moss Booty Drop.
It is T-Boz from TLC's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
And now I don't normally just pick a booty drop based on whose birthdays it is. But the reason I have today is because TLC performed an award show in LA a little while ago and they got Lardo up to fill in for Lisa Left Eye from TLC.
Of course.
They did No Scrubs, got a bit of No Scrubs.
Don't want none of your time. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from
good.
Me.
Good.
Sound good.
They did a bit of Waterfalls.
I know that you're gonna have it your way on the
metal.
But I think you're moving too fast.
To have a song that you don't get sick of, that every time you hear it, you're like, it's still a tune, would be so amazing.
Yes.
So I thought we'd get on a bit of the OG TLC with Waterfalls.
Carrie and Tommy.
It's your Friday edition of Carrie and Tommy.
And it is not just any moment in time. It's $100,000, potentially moment in time.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my God.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds. And doing just that, exactly that, could change your life forever. Because today, the time game has jackpotted to...
Oh, I haven't checked. Hang on. It's here somewhere. $100,000.
Carrie and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
Very exciting. Because who got?
I love what Jules wants to do with the money. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Carrie.
Am I your bestie who you're taking to New York?
Oh, you know, I would actually take you along. You would be so much fun, Carrie.
I would be so much fun. What do you want to do in New York?
My bestie and I, we've been friends this year for 30 years and we always said we would go to Tiffany's, go to New York, have breakfast in Tiffany's.
Fun.
And you know, like 30 years have gone, we've married with kids and there's no way we could do that now. So,
oh, you could with 100K, Julie.
Oh, my God.
You could have so much fun in New York with 100K.
Julie, oh, my gosh.
Julie, I'm probably naive to all this. Isn't Tiffany's a jewelry shop?
It is, but there is one in New York that you can actually go and have breakfast at.
Oh.
How cool is that?
She's not just taking her McMuffin into a Tiffany store and perusing the aisles.
And I can come out with a bracelet and a necklace.
Oh, you can come out with a lot for 100K. Well, actually not too much, but you know, some nice things. Yes. Okay, Jules, well, you know how this works. We're going to say start. You say stop at exactly 5 seconds and New York, baby, is all yours.
Okay.
Start.
Stop.
I don't know, but our little pooch is wagging his tail, it means it's close.
It does. It's really hard learning a new animal's moves. Like we know the ferrets move so well, but little puppy, I'm not across little puppy's moves. No, my beautiful lab.
It's quite a bit of miming. It's quite accentuated.
Yes, it is
going on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No more of that little puppy. Yeah. How did Julie go, little puppy?
No, don't do that.
Okay. Sorry. 5.
Oh, that's a good start.
Point.
Yes.
5-3.
Oh, Jules. Oh, I liked Jules.
Oh, well, she's dead.
Bridget. Hey, Bridge.
G'day, Bridget.
I am indeed.
Hey, you are Bridget. And I am Tommy. And I am Carrie,
indeed.
Hello, Bridget. Carrie. How are you?
Good, thanks, Bridget.
Bridget, indeed. What do you do with yourself?
I work for NAB.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's all I can say.
Oh, making it sound mysterious. Is it mysterious or are you just making it sound mysterious?
No, it's mysterious.
Oh.
I shouldn't have said that.
Are you in the laundering department? Not a no.
What are you doing with the 100K, Bridget? Are you going to invest it or something boring like that?
Oh, no. I might be generous and give some to my children.
Oh.
I might shout my team out for a French martini.
Oh, that sounds fun, Bridget.
I love my French martini.
Oh, as do I, Bridget. As do
What's
I.
What's a French martini?
Ask Bridget.
Bridget.
I don't know, but it's bloody beautiful, Carrie. You'd love it.
Yeah, Carrie would love
it. I'd be on my ass after one French martini, I reckon.
No, you wouldn't. No?
Okay.
No.
Bridget, for $100,000, yes. Are you ready to play?
I am, Tommy, and wish me luck.
Good luck.
Start.
Stop.
Felt good. Felt so good, Bridget. You'd think it'd be good with time if you worked at the bank, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yes. Time is money. You know what they say?
Time, that is what they say.
Yeah, you need a job here.
Yes.
Yes. Are you considering it, Carrie?
A career change?
To NAB.
Yes. If I get to have my French martinis with Bridget, maybe.
We can organise you a French martini here if you want. We need.
I tell you what, you give me that 100 grand and I'll buy you a few.
Okay. All right, let's see how you went, Bridget.
4.68.
Oh. Should we end with Jaden?
Yes. G'day, Jaden.
Yep.
People are being so funny today.
No.
Indeed.
Yep.
How are we?
Yep.
Good. Yep. What are you doing with 100K, Jaden?
Oh, buying some barbecue cheeseburgers, I reckon.
Yep.
Some barbecue cheeseburgers?
Oh, yeah.
What's a barbecue cheeseburger?
A cheeseburger.
At Hungry Jack's.
From Hungry Jack's, like $2.95, the best thing you can get, eh?
Hey, Jaden, how good was it? It was about a year ago, I reckon, now that Hungry Jack's moved to chicken salt on their chips.
Oh, it's the best thing they ever did, eh?
I couldn't agree more.
Hey,
Jaden, are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Start.
Stop.
That was so good, Jaden. Imagine how many barbecued cheeseburgers, is that what you're getting? You could get from Hungry Jack's. Oh my God, we've done the math. You could get 33,800 barbecue cheeseburgers.
I've already done the math too, don't worry about that.
Okay,
you'd be so annoyed you didn't get a drink.
Like, yeah, you'd need one.
You'd be so parched.
You'd get 33,000.
Yeah, that and the RS storm, I reckon, and then you could get go down well.
Yes.
Oh my God, Jaden.
Now, Jaden, our little furry friend here has got a shocked look on his face, which means it is very close.
Jaden, are you normally on time?
Yeah, I try to be.
Yeah, good on you, Jaden.
That means no, but you put in the best effort you can, which is what I do, Jaden. Jaden.
You don't.
For a I try.
You don't.
I try.
You don't.
I do try.
You don't.
I do try. Okay. I do.
You don't.
For a hundred that I do.
You don't.
For 100,000, I really do.
No, you actually don't. Jaden, I think you look at the time. Jaden, he's meant to be at work every day at 1 o'clock on the dot.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It is true. We changed the time. Yes. He strolls
one
in,
o'clock.
Honestly.
He's 30.
Oh, don't ruin the joke, Georgia. Anyway, how did Jaden go?
Yeah.
He should be.
I knew you should get him
here. If you told him it was 1 o'clock now, he would get there on time.
They know that trick. Jaden, for $100,000, let's find out how you went.
Five.
Oh, my gosh, that is a good start. Now, just remember, Jaden, the number we're looking for here is 5.00, but so far we just have a 5.
Point.
Start.
Okay, 5.00.
Oh, my God. Jaden!
For $100,000, Jaden, we just need to hear, I do try and get you on. I just need to hear one more zero and you win.
I want to hear that one more zero.
$1,000. So far, I've heard 5.03.
Jackbox
next week.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia on your radio and around the world on the listener app, this is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Very good.
That was the most formal introduction I think we've ever had, even from forgetting my name.
I was going to say Fifi Box.
Leroy. Actually, I'd be happy to be Fifi.
Yeah. Legend.
I'm honoured to work with you and Fifi. Would
and
be,
all the women of the world.
Isn't the ladies lovely? Because remember when we discovered on this show a few weeks ago that you were heartless, which is what? Not what people think when they think of Carrie. They think of a big, kind, gentle, beautiful soul.
Why was I heartless?
Because I showed you a video of a dog.
Oh, retiring.
And here, have a listen if you missed it.
I enjoy being a dog. It's the sweetest thing ever.
It's cute. Yeah.
It's the sweetest thing ever.
Not ever. Is it because you've got dogs now? You're imagining putting
dog
your dog down? What are you doing?
That dog put its life at risk to save humans.
Yeah.
And it's really nice for a dog to do. And now he gets to go be a dog. How nice would it be if you just got to go be a dog? I think I want to go be a dog.
Oh, my God, now you're crying again.
No.
Did you just watch it again?
No.
Why is it making you cry?
I just remember.
Because you remember that you still haven't gone to try being a dog?
I wanted to just be a dog.
I know, you said it lots of times.
I just wanted to help people.
Oh, my God, you're bawling.
I can't.
Oh, my God.
I think we're quite emotional.
Oh, my God. Somebody help him. I'm not heartless.
You've got the tissues in him now.
Hungover. What's the difference?
I'm honestly not today.
No, but for you, it's a few days out from the...
I'm in such a better place.
Are you? Okay, so are you going to try...
Oh, my God, get it together.
Show you this new video.
What are you showing me? A new video that what? Oh my God, you're now snotting everywhere. What's happening? What's the new video of?
Dog.
Another dog. Are you going to try and think that if you play me enough dog videos, it might make me cry? You think it might get you again?
I've got a sneaking suspicion. Okay.
I'm not heartless. Sometimes I think videos are lovely, they're just not sob worthy.
Yeah, that one. I'm the same.
Okay, show me this one. Paint the picture of what's happening, or do I need to paint the picture as I watch it?
This one is a service dog again.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And it's just trying to save humans' lives, not really knowing why, just out of the good of humanity. And it's...
Not good of humanity.
Good of dog-anity. Which is way better, if you think about it. Dogs are better than people. Anyway, come on over.
Yeah.
So here...
Now I feel pressure.
Tommy's coming around to show Carrie on the phone, the video.
And so it says we have a special guest on today's flight and there's a video of a dog hitting play now.
special guest on today's flight. Kaya is a German Shepherd service dog who's been with her handler Cole since 2014. She was specifically trained to help veterans cope with mental health issues. She was the inspiration for the PAWS Act. It's a federal law that allows the VA to find service dogs for veterans with post-traumatic stress, which was signed into law in 2021. Lobbying for the PAWS Act entirely with Cole. Kaya has flown on Southwest over 250 times out of the 320 flights she's been on. Sadly, Kaya was recently diagnosed with an untreatable cancer, so we have a solemn honor of taking her on what will be her last flight. She goes home to rest where she was born and first met Cole. If you have the opportunity and feel so inclined, feel free to search for her story and pay her a visit when we arrive in Dallas to show her some love. On behalf of Southwest Airlines, two veterans up front, we thank both Kaya and Cole.
Aww.
Marine Corps veteran for their service.
She's still working with the
That's
veteran
so
who's got
lovely.
PTSD. And
specifically, oh my God, that was so hard.
Nothing. Nothing. That's got humans and dogs who have got problems and they're helping each other.
It's so sad and it's so lovely and what a beautiful service to humanity and for those war veterans. She's incredible.
They don't give the dog a support animal.
She's incredible.
They don't give the dog a support animal. Doing it unfair. Now that dog's dying and they're not giving the dog a support animal. I don't think it's fair.
You want my hanky?
I don't think.
No, it's weird that you've got a hanky. You're not. You're under 80.
You should Why have a hanky.
I just don't feel right with that one. I need one in my pocket. I feel naked with that one.
You should feel naked without clothes. And hanky is reserved for people over 80.
Sorry.
And dogs are the best thing in the world.
That video is lovely. And I think it's beautiful. I just don't think.
I think
they're not. No, it's just not my algorithm. I cry at lots of Insta videos, but that's just not my hitting zone.
You cried at a pretend kid writing a message to his mum, and it wasn't a kid; it was a baby. So the baby can't write, and so it was written by an adult man, and you cried at that. But you won't cry at a real
don't
life
to cry.
Service dog. That
you
is
want
helping
my tears
real
to be genuine.
Life.
You're not crying over that. You're crying over life.
No, I am crying over that.
Are you?
Like, there's times when they're too. The
Gary and Tommy. So I didn't cry in that break just then, which is what you wanted me so desperately to do, but I did laugh at something that we brushed over. We got to talk more about Leroy.
Yes.
Our anchor, who is filling in for Jesse, who is sick, just casually said in the middle of that break, he blew his nose with his hanky.
Yes.
And then I said, he
was very helpful. He offered my tears, and which made me laugh quite a lot because I said, you're under 80 and should not have a
but
hanky.
But then he said off air that he feels weird not having one. He can't go without one.
Are you from the country, Leroy?
I'm from Tasmania. That might sum it
Have
up.
You always had a hanky or did you enter a hanky era?
Ever since I can remember, I've had a hanky in my pocket, and if I don't have one, I'll have anxiety for the whole day.
If you blow a massive snot rocket into that thing,
yep.
How does it feel putting it on your person?
It's like a souvenir. I'm proud of it.
So, but when you go to use it again, like, is it wet?
Just fold it up and do the other side.
Oh. Yes. So when you were a kid, did you have a hanky?
Yep, 100%.
So never
my
tissues.
My pop had a hanky in his pocket the whole time.
No, I understand that.
And when he passed away, I left a hanky on him.
Oh,
that's really
no,
sweet.
No, oi, See, now no, hang on. Don't be an asshole. We were having a good bit of fun and you made it all sentimental.
How often do you wash the hanky?
Oh, that's something. I just put it in the washing basket and then all of a sudden it appears back where it's meant to be.
Or someone washes it for
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
Does it get ironed?
Yes.
It does.
I've got like a hanky pile about, you know.
So it's a fresh hanky every day for Leroy.
100%.
Leroy, how old are you?
Nearly 40.
Yeah.
Who's washing the hanky?
My partner, Amy. Shout out.
Yeah, good on you, Amy.
Good on you, Amy. Washing and ironing a hanky.
Oh, sorry.
She's
I thought you
keeper.
Meant good on you for being with someone that's got a hanky. Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy. Driving you home for a Friday, it's Carrie and Tommy.
I'm going to keep the dog theme going, Carrie. Sorry, we've all learnt that you hate dogs on this show.
and you're...
I'm not even going to defend myself anymore.
I know, it's hard, isn't it?
No, now I need to defend myself. I love dogs. I just, the dog videos you're showing me aren't making me sob uncontrollably like you. But that doesn't mean I don't love dogs.
What does it mean? You just are a rock inside.
Do you cry at every single video of a kid you see on Instagram? Does that mean you hate kids?
Oh, maybe. So we're in agreeance.
If you show me a cat video.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm not into cats as much, but dogs I do like.
Yes. Well, I have said this now a couple of times in this show.
I enjoy being a dog. It's the sweetest thing ever.
It's cute. Yeah.
It's the sweetest thing ever.
Not ever. Is it because you've got dogs now? You're imagining putting your dog down?
There.
What
that
are you
dog
doing?
Put its life at risk to save humans.
Yeah.
And it's really nice for a dog to do. And now he gets to go be a dog. How nice would it be if you just got to go be a dog? I think I want to go be a dog.
So I've been thinking about this a lot because when I walk my boys, right, at the park, all the dogs, they're all naked essentially, mm-hmm. right? And they all just walk up to each other and sniff each other and lick each other's bums. And
that's what you want to do.
So
you
I
want to
got
go
to
be
thinking,
a dog.
So I got to thinking, if humans... If we didn't get civilized, like if we didn't discover agriculture and learn and, you know, build all these things, would we just exist in the world walking around parks naked and licking each other and sniffing each other's
bums? I think men would. Like I never think, gosh, I wish I could just walk around naked and sniff people's asses.
But it's all the...
It's not something top
but
of
sorry,
mind for me.
It's not what I... We, oh!
Even when I see dogs doing that at a park, I don't immediately think, God, I wish I could do that.
But the gender divide in dogs doesn't, it's not.
No.
The women dogs aren't over in the corner with cups of tea.
No, I'm just saying that
gossip.
You're asking if humankind would just revert to being dog-like if we hadn't.
Well, not revert, just never,
sorry, never
advanced.
Have advanced. And I'm saying I think the men would have. And the women definitely
but
would have
what's
advanced.
Different in the dog world then? Why are women dog no different to the men dog?
I'm not a dog. I can't tell you.
Would you like to be a dog?
No, I don't.
What do you think would be the worst part about being a dog?
Having someone constantly come and sniff.
Oh, well, case closed, I guess.
Gary and Tommy. This time in 3 weeks' time.
Is it 3 weeks?
I'll be heading to China. I know this is crazy, but I've signed up to run the Great Wall of China.
Yeah! Go out and get it. You got this, can we? Hey.
Climb these steps, run a bit further. Make me lose my breath. Great Wall of China.
Go out and get it.
Yep, I've signed up to do the Great Wall of China Marathon. I'm doing the half marathon, 21 kilometres. It's over 5,000 steps. I think the first 6Ks is pretty much just straight stair climbing.
It is meant to be one of, if the not hardest marathons in the world.
Yeah, the steps are uneven. I think you were telling me something like the average step is like 40 centimetres. If you think of a ruler and then add 10 centimetres. Anyway.
And they're so uneven that some are like 5 centimetres and some are like 60 centimetres.
To catch me, to trip me up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought, so I've been training for on and off for the last maybe 2.5 months, but we're 3 weeks away and I decided during the week I really need to step up I need to step up more. Literally need to do some stair climbing. So I've been doing most of my runs on flat, which I thought, because I've built up to like 10 or 12 Ks on flat, I thought, I'm doing pretty good. So then I went out into like the mountainous parts of the state and thought I would go and do some hill climbing.
Some steppy trails.
Some trails that are steep, straight up. Didn't go so well.
Did it not go well?
I discovered that the flat stuff is very different to the hill stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And perhaps I should have done a bit of the hilly stuff a long time ago.
So what, you're finding the hill stuff easier?
Well, I'll just give you, I thought I'd take you on the journey.
Okay.
And then you get a sense of how I experienced. This was me. I set off and I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't record any content because I thought I was going to be here at one with nature.
No, you didn't.
Just really, no, I did. I set out to record some content, but I thought it was going to be really motivational. Content, like, I'm here, my first run up the hill, and I've got this.
I've just
turns
done
out
two
it
mountains.
Wasn't motivation at all. This was me 30 seconds into running up a hill.
I'm actually not gonna be able to do it. Oh my god, I thought I should do some more incline, and I've done a minute up the steps. I'm honestly dead, like, dead. None of the flat stuff I've been doing has helped. Oh my god, I'm gonna. Oh god, there's more to go to, like a lot more. Oh.
So I know what you're thinking.
I'm thinking that you were 30 seconds in and then you were surprised that there was more to go at the end.
Oh, there was so much more to go. Yeah. I thought I'd take them real quickly. You'll be happy to know, though, it's certainly...
That's 30 seconds in.
I know. It certainly got easier, though, as I went along, as you can tell here by my voice.
I'm up to like 200 of like 1,000 steps. Look at them. Let's keep going and going and going. Oh my god.
So then I thought, saw there's a little turn, a little corner,
Carrie,
and I thought I must almost be at the top.
You know how that's 200 steps in?
I've got
on the Great Wall,
there's
5,000.
But don't worry, when I got up to the 300 step mark, I was flying.
Oh my god, I can't do it.
I am.
Is that you doing your Dax? What was that?
I thought I could use some of that audio. I swore for the entire 40 minutes up this hill. It was so bad. Like, I am underprepared. All of the training, none of it has helped me. If I don't, like, permanently climb stairs for the next 3 weeks straight, I'm not going to make it.
You've got to work out how to incorporate it into your daily life. Yes.
Yes, because a friend of mine that's doing it said he's now taking the stairs everywhere he goes.
Yes. Lifts? No, like, more lifts for you.
Is this, can we get up the stairs here at work? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I could climb the stairs at work.
Yes.
We'll walk the stairs.
Yeah, it makes it sound like, oh, guys, I just climbed to level 2. I got here. Oh, God. I think I'm Great Wall Marathon ready.
Maybe I should practice going up and down them.
Yeah. That's
like
what,
after
isn't
the show.
That what we just
Sorry,
said?
I mean like go for an hour after the show and just go up and down the fire escape.
And people are going to think you're nuts. And also they're going to be like, wasn't there that woman that we saw out in nature swearing profusely?
Carrie and Tommy. Yes, that's where it's at for your Friday. It's Carrie and Tommy driving you home.
Because a fascinating chat coming up next with a woman who has lived a life that I don't think you would wish upon anyone, but lived to tell the tale.
Mm.
I don't know how much do I say.
I think it for her to say, but it is for our segment. That's what I want to know, which is when we get to ask all the questions to somebody that you're fascinated to know about their life. Nothing's off limits. They're willing to answer anything, as is our next guest, and it's fascinating.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
I want to know.
The big question is.
I've always wondered.
Would you like to know?
I want to know.
Carrie, Tommy, I've been wondering, and they would like to ask, please, to tell me.
Want
to
know.
Like to know.
Want
to
know.
Some of you see. That's what I
want to
know.
Carrie and Tommy's.
That's what I want to know.
There's no one that knows prison more than our next guest. She has spent 5 years in an Australian prison, then 7 years in a Thai prison, then 5 years again in an Australian prison. There is so much to this story that we need to unpack. Would you welcome to the show? It's Holly Dean Jones. Welcome, Holly. Okay. First of all, hi.
Hi.
Congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
Sorry, I realised it does feel funny. I don't know how we're meant to introduce. This is a segment where we chat to people who have had fascinating experiences, but it does sound strange in the introduction going, 5 years in this prison, 7 years in this prison, 5 years in this prison, and then we all clapped.
Well, the fact that you're here, and I was going to say, the fact that you're here is absolutely worth clapping, because by the sounds of what you have been through, it was living hell. So can you take us back to, so your younger years and you were 20, you spent 5 years in Australian prison, but how did you end up in the Thai prison?
So I went over there to live. My boyfriend was there at the time on the run from charges in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
So after I was free and had finished my parole and everything, I then went over there to live with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah. Did that not, after you've just got out of prison, a lot of people would think, you know, this is my chance for a fresh start at life.
Mm.
And you go, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to join a bloke on the run. you must have been madly in love.
Oh,
because it sounds a bit nuts.
Oh yeah, it does. It's totally nuts for sure, 100%.
And I say that as a person who is a bit nuts. So.
Yeah, no, look, totally nuts. But you know, Stephen and I had been together since I was 16. Mm. I loved him. He loved me. We were soulmates.
And he stayed together during the 5 years first prison stint.
We've been together up until...
Are you still together?
No. He passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Wow, that's a long time together.
Yeah, he passed away from cancer.
Oh. Mm. Gosh, there's even more to your life story than we even know now. Okay, so, sorry.
I was just going to say, do you mind, and if it's not part of your story, you don't need to tell me, do you mind if I ask, what was he on the run for?
So he was on the run for the charges that I was in prison for.
In Australia.
Oh.
Which were?
Heroin charges. Yeah,
okay.
So I got legal advice and said, you know, if he did come back, what would he be looking at jail-wise? And they said, look, if you're going to be doing 5, he'll do 15.
Wow.
So I said, don't come back.
So you end up over in Thailand. You're living in Thailand. What leads to the day that you're arrested in Thailand?
Okay, so when I got out of jail in Perth, I started using again.
Mm-hmm.
After I finished my parole and everything, got straight back into it. Being a heroin addict and having the opportunity to go to Thailand to live, well, that's a heroin addict's dream. You know, good heroin, cheap.
Yes. There's literally poppy farms.
Yeah.
So hold on. So while you were in prison in Perth for those 5 years, excuse my ignorance, what do you do with the addiction during that period? How do you manage that?
I was still using in jail.
Right.
Yeah. Like I had got clean.
Yeah.
I was clean.
Yeah.
But occasionally I would still use.
They wouldn't know or
they'd find ways to. They urine you.
Right.
So if they urine you and it comes back that you've got drugs in your system, then you go to solitary.
For how long?
Usually 7 days.
So for you it was worth sometimes the hit to do it and then
it didn't worry me
every now and then. Yeah, right. Okay. So you continue using and you end up over in Thailand, and then so you were still using, but what led to you being arrested?
So a friend had got arrested in Darwin doing a run from Thailand to there. He got arrested, and to get a reduced sentence, he said, I can give you somebody in Thailand.
Oh.
So he gave them me.
Oh.
He knew what I was doing.
What were you doing?
So I had somebody that was making calendars and would insert 15 grams of heroin into this calendar. So when you're holding this calendar, it looked just like a calendar, nothing else. So I was sending that back home to myself so that when I came back to Perth.
For holidays and things.
Yeah, I'd have heroin here to use.
And so he dobbed you in and then you got done for what, how much?
I was then put under surveillance for 3 months. And then one night I went into a post office to post.
In Thailand?
In Thailand, yeah. To post it back to myself. I was with a friend who had driven me there. We went to get something to eat. There was no parking, so I said, look, I'll get out, get the food, just keep chucking laps around the block. So he stopped. I went to get in, went to close my door, and all these blokes have run out the car. And I'm playing tug of war with my door with some guy. I thought we were being robbed.
Yeah,
I didn't know they were cops until, they pulled out the handcuffs and that. Then I realised what had happened.
Holly, that's obviously the start of what would be a long story for you in prison. If you can stick around, we have so many more questions.
And we'll have more with Holly Dean Johns up next.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy for your Friday arvo, and we're still joined by former prisoner Holly Dean Johns.
Holly is the author of Holly's Hell, 7 years in a Thai prison. And back in 2000, Holly was caught trying to post 15 grams of heroin in Bangkok back to Australia.
Oh, in movies, we see when people get arrested that you get a phone call, you get a lawyer turns up really quickly. Can you tell me when you're in Thailand and you get picked up, what does the next kind of week look like and what support are you offered?
So we were taken to a lockup, which I was told you stay there for 2 weeks and then you move to the main jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. We were kept there for a month and then moved to the main prison.
And have you spoken to, do they give you any kind of legal, a lawyer, anyone, a phone call to anyone?
Can you keep your phones or anything? Or would have been,
No. What actually happened when they were at my apartment searching? Well, before we got there in the car, I've got my money and I've put it down the front of my jeans because I knew I'd be searched. Well, that's what I thought. So then when we were at my house, I managed to get a bag of my jewellery out of the drawer and I put that down my pants as well because I was still thinking I will be searched by a female cop. Yeah. Never happened. So, yeah, luckily I did do that.
So you took some cash, some stuff into prison with you, some money and jewels.
I had money, yeah.
Which then became what you would use to get things in prison or?
Yeah, so that money was put onto my prison account and my jewellery I gave to the embassy to keep for me. So at times if I needed money, wow. I'd say to them, sell one of my bracelets or sell a ring. Yeah.
So you spent a month in the lockup. And then what happened?
Then we were taken to the main prison.
Yeah. And can you describe, can you paint the beautiful, pristine picture of the
which would be pretty accurate given you'd already done prison time in another country. So I guess you have an idea of what you would think it would be too.
Yeah. Well, the guy I was charged with, Bob, he had been in a Thai prison many, many years before. And he told me many stories. And I always thought, oh, come on, man. Like, I thought he was exaggerating. So the day we were to go to the main prison, we'd finished in the courtroom, we were being led down these stairs and it was very dark. And he said, look, don't freak out when you get in there. Like, it'll be like nothing you've ever imagined. And I said, I'll be right. You know, still thinking it's not going to be that bad. So I've walked into this cell, jam packed with women. You couldn't even sit down. Everyone was standing. It was that packed.
Roughly how many people were you talking in? What kind of size?
Oh, look, probably the size of this.
This studio, yeah.
100.
Really?
The first thing that really freaked me out was you get searched internally, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, how does that work?
Well, I'm thinking it would be done by a nurse. It was done by a prisoner.
A fellow prisoner?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So there's so many of us in a line waiting to go in. So I've walked in and I've looked at the rubbish bin to see how many gloves were in there because I know how many women have just gone in.
Oh, my God.
And looking at how many were in the bin, there was no way she was changing her gloves.
Oh, my God.
So I couldn't speak Thai at this time, so I'm motioning for her to take those off and put new ones on. Yeah. So that was pretty much my introduction to a Thai prison, yeah.
And then how do you get access to food? Do you get access to food, water? Can you shower? What's the...
Yeah, you really do need to have money. If you don't, yeah, like you can have the government food, but if you didn't have to eat it, you just wouldn't. It was disgusting. Yeah, look, you're put into a place where there's no duty of care whatsoever, like nothing. You know, in jails back home, you at least get a welcome pack, you know, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, you know, the basics. Over there you get nothing, absolutely nothing. Yeah, so it's really a matter of survival of the fittest, pretty much.
Do you have a bed?
No. So you sleep on the floor.
Any kind of blankets or anything?
Yeah, yeah. They'll sell you blankets at the shop there.
Okay.
When they have them. You know, for the first 10 months I was using drugs in there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be numb. I just didn't want to be in this reality pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then after 10 months, I woke up one day, I was sitting on the ground just looking around where I was. And, you know, you hear people have that light bulb moment. I really did. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, far out, look where you are. Look what you've done to your life.
Yeah.
Your life's, it's over. Yeah, so I made a decision that day. I will never, ever touch drugs ever again. And I haven't.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been such a fascinating insight into a world that, yeah, we just don't know much about. If you could stick around a little bit longer, we do have some final questions for you.
And we'll have more with Holly Dean Johns up next.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy for your Friday Arvo. And we're still joined by former prisoner Holly Dean Johns.
Holly, it is a fascinating story for those who have just joined us. Holly was arrested in Thailand back in 2000 for trying to smuggle heroin and spent 7 years in a Thai jail. But we've just heard, which we've just heard, is nothing like Australian jails. It sounds like hell on earth. But Holly, in terms of your relationships with the other prisoners, obviously, for a tourist version of when they see and interact with Thai people, they're notoriously a very friendly people. How was it inside and how were all the other women?
Yeah, good. The Thai women are very curious. So they would always be touching my hair.
Oh.
I didn't shower with the top on. So they were always, like, looking at me. Like, the differences in breasts and stuff like that. It was just like, wow, for them, look how different you are. So, yeah, we were sort of, we were on show pretty much.
Is there many relationships that form in there between women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And violence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the hardest things to sort of wrap my head around, like seeing the violence. You know, there was one escape attempt one day. There's no male guards there, only women. But when something happens, they bring the men from the men's prison. So this day I watched all these women get put in a circle. They were handcuffed behind their back, shackled, and, they just came in and just started giving it to them. Yeah, it was really horrific to watch this. And then they made them crawl on their hands and knees, like very far. There was blood on the ground. One of the women were pregnant. She lost the baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just horrible stuff.
That's an interesting question. So would a baby's... No. Would babies be born in there often? Would women come in pregnant, or they wouldn't be able to get pregnant in there because it's a female-only prison?
Kids were allowed in until they were three.
So if someone came in and they already had a toddler, or they could bring
stay. Their... Yeah. And then after that, if they didn't have family to give them to,
oh my God,
there was a local orphanage. Oh. And then the orphanage people would bring these kids in once a month to see their mum. And... You know, to be fair, the kids were better off in prison because we all cared for them.
Yeah, of course.
And we brought them clothes. We brought them food. Like, they were really well looked after.
Hmm.
I would say probably better than at the orphanage.
Holly, obviously sad, very sad to hear that your husband passed away. Amazing that you were together through all of this. So many questions around that as well. It's hard to ask this without sounding like I'm ignoring all those facts, but are you in a good place? Are you in a happy place in life? Has all of this ended with you feeling positive about the world, or has it scarred you for life and it's very hard to do life?
No. When I got out, I pretty much walked out like I'd never been away. It was very easy for me to just get back into life. And I thought I was absolutely fine. Then after 2 years, I started to wake up in the morning crying my eyes out. I'd be driving down the street and just start crying. And I'm like, what's going on? Didn't want to leave my house. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to see people. Now, I've never been like that in my whole life. And I thought I was going crazy. So I went to see my doctor, who had been my doctor my whole life. And he said, Holly, you've got depression for a start.
Oh.
And you've got
PTSD.
PTSD. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I hadn't even thought about that. I got on medication. I started doing a lot of therapy, like a lot of therapy. If I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be who I am now. But doing that is what helped me get through those times.
And you, yeah. You said you were learning when you were in prison and you got your degree in, was it youth work?
Mm.
And is that what you're doing now? Are you working with young people?
That's what I will be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I've just started doing it. So I've just started, you know, doing talks at places.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I love watching the people's faces, you know. It's great, you know, and they come up afterward and are like, oh, my God, like, I just feel amazing. You're so motivating and I feel like now I can, you know, do what they want to do. And that's what I want to do for people. Like, I was you. I have been where mm-hmm. you are now. There's a way out. Look at me. I did it. You can as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really want to do with my life.
Good on you.
Yeah.
So the book is called Holly's Hell, 7 years in a Thai prison. Holly Dean-Johns, we will let you go, but what is the main thing for people who get your book, and everyone should, what's the main thing you want people to take away from it?
I'm asked that all the time, and, you know, the main...
Damn it.
No. Look, the main thing that, you know, I tell everybody is don't ever touch drugs. Like, you know, unfortunately for me, that really was the beginning of the end. You know, that might not be everyone's story, but it could be.
Mm.
You know, it's you're really rolling the dice.
Well, Holly, it's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah, it's I've just got so many thoughts swirling around my head, which I'm sure everybody does that's listening and that will read your book. And, yeah, good luck with it all.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Amazing.
Make sure you check out Holly Dean-Johns, Holly's Hell, 7 years in a Thai prison. Thanks.
Thanks.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia on your radio and anywhere you want to be on the listener app,
yes.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
And it has been a long while because a lot of people have been asking me, as you know, I peruse the hallways of this office quite often just to do vibe checks, see what's going on, and mm-hmm. everyone says the same thing. They all say, what's happening with our neighbours from across the ditch, and I thought it's time to find out.
We interrupt this broadcast with breaking news.
Here is the latest news.
The latest news.
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 From across the ditch.
Oh, no, Bickers, how are you?
I'm good. What's happened?
No, I know.
But I'm Australian, so I...
No, you're not.
Remember, we've discussed this. Mm-mm-mm. I can't do the accent.
Give it a go.
I can't.
What did you call me?
No, I call myself it. I.
Do you want a story about a phone scammer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this went down in Dunedin. Have you been to Dunedin?
No.
No.
Beautiful
it's
part of the world.
It's the sister city to Edinburgh.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
It's a university town. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
It is home to the steepest street in the world. Did you know that?
No.
That's all true.
Wow.
So this scam happened and they called an office mm-hmm. and the person picked up 1:20 p.m. on Tuesday and they said... It sounded like, this is the exact words, this is a quote, a foreign-sounding male, which could have been Australian, because over there,
yes.
Australians like yes. you sound foreign. A foreign-sounding male stated that there was a problem with the internet connection. Guess who responded? Senior Sergeant Anthony Bond, because he'd accidentally called the police station to try and scam them. And so then the copper said, do you know you've called a police station? And the man went, oh, shut and hung up the phone.
Oh, no.
Yes, he told them the internet wasn't working. Not true. They've got excellent internet. Do you want the next story?
I do.
Well, we're done.
No.
The next story.
Yeah.
This one takes a bit of getting your head around, which means...
I'm finding the accent hard to...
My voice is going and I'm struggling with it a bit myself.
You are.
It's also been a while. I don't even know if I'm me, to be honest. Or am I someone else? Anyway, so this man... His name's David McCaw.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his security card mm-hmm. 21 years ago. This was what he said then. My briefcase was sitting in the passenger footwell of the car, so obviously someone saw it and broke the window and took the briefcase.
Oh, no.
Then, was that the accent or not?
Oh, no.
Okay. A few days later, the police found the briefcase, but guess what? It was all soggy and wet, and they found all of the contents except his security card from his job. But guess what? Cut to 2016, and then we're now in Antarctica, and a...
He's still Kiwi?
No, I don't know.
How do you do an Antarctic accent? You've been there.
No, because he's Kiwi, this guy
as well. Oh, so you stay, yep.
So his name's Rod Budd. That's something you'd be into smoking. Rod, not Bud. No, wait, Bud, not Rod. Could be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, they're on the sea. They're on the seafloor of this near Antarctica doing research. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He sees this little credit card thing, and he picks that up, and he cleans it, and he goes, "Oh my God, I could see David's name printed on it." And they came back to New Zealand, and they said, "We'll track down David McCaw."
This is crazy.
They didn't get round to tracking him down for another 8 years. And eventually,
wow, that's a long man hunt.
And eventually, they've just given him back his card, but they still don't know how it got there because they said if it sunk or was attached to something floating, it would have taken a lot longer than 13 years for ocean currents to take it from Wellington's harbour to Antarctica.
And could he swipe back into work then? What did he do with it?
I think he's moved on and he's doing a different job.
So what do they think? I don't know.
Segment
I
over.
Know what, no, I know, bye. But. What are the chances?
G'day. Carrie and
Tommy. You were telling us about the diss tracks, the beef that's going on between...
Drake versus the world. Yes.
It got hectic.
Fascinating.
They're not the only ones with diss tracks.
Really?
Yeah. Taylor's latest album, oh my God, layered with disses.
Is it really?
I don't really know. There has been so many podcasts and so many people talking about Taylor's new album and all the secret things she said about different people and dissed. And I don't have time to get myself across all of those podcasts. So instead, I've got web guy Eli here, who's across all catchy pop stuff that's happening in the world. And I've said to him, in under a minute, can he please just get me up to scratch on what I need to know from this album so I don't have to do all of the podcasts.
And I can't wait to hear that. Just a quick thing about Taylor. Do you think she's in danger of being slightly overexposed? No, neither. Eli.
So what do we need to know from her album?
Okay, so one of the juiciest songs that have come out is called Thank You, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And what is actually quite fascinating about the title, the most fascinating part about the title is that the three letters that are capitalized in it are the K in thank, and then in Amy, it's A-I-M-E-E, and the I-M. So the song is about Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my gosh, it is a diss track.
In the lyrics, it references the bronze spray-tanned high school bully. So everyone is saying that it's definitely about Kim. And Taylor even acknowledges in the song, your daughters are going to be listening to this song one day and singing along to it. Not understanding that it's about us, but you and I will know what this song is about.
Well, guess what?
Oh, why everybody bring knows. The kids into it, you know?
No, that's what we do on diss tracks because...
Well, that's what Eminem did. Yeah. No, yeah. The other
and Machine
guy.
Machine Gun Kelly. You're exactly right.
Had a go at Eminem's daughter. Hayley? Is that right?
Should we do diss tracks about each other? And I just exclusively take cracks at your kids. Oh,
who would come out well there, do you think, in that? Actually, somehow you still would. It would be very annoying.
Oh, it's so sweet. He's talking about her kids.
What else?
The album does focus a lot on Travis Kelce and one of her exes, Joe. However,
Had they been dating Travis by the time she was writing this album?
Yes. So they've been dating now for almost close to a year.
Oh.
So, yeah, so there would have been some songs that I imagine she could have went in.
Is Joe Jonas?
No, Joe is Joe Alwyn.
Oh, her ex.
Yes.
But
there's nothing too like salacious about them. However, there is a song called The Black Dog, and there was a brief stint before Travis where she was dating the front man of the 1975s called Matt Healy.
Matt Healy, yes.
And so The Black Dog, that song, also references a pub called The Black Dog where Matt Healy supposedly or allegedly cheated on Taylor Swift when he had frequented that
pub. At The Black Dog.
At The Black Dog.
That's the most normal thing ever. Yeah. Taylor going to Matt, you won't believe it. You went to The Black Dog last night. And you know what he's like when he's there. He just drinks and drinks. And anyway, he's Cheryl. He's smooched Cheryl.
That's all I need. Thank you, Eli.
You're
perfect.
Welcome.
It's back to back for Budget Trucks. To get to the good stuff faster, start at budgettrucks.com.au. Carrie and Tommy. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it.
Same, but backwards. It's your primitive
yet. Electricity generated by Australian natural gas is an important backup for renewables to help deliver reliable electricity.
Do you think we should tell Leroy, who is filling in for Jesse, that this segment can get a little bit heated just so that he doesn't get stressed?
I've seen other segments get heated this week.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah, but you should know, Carrie, you have to basically rig it so Carrie wins.
That's not true.
Or otherwise she cracks it.
No, it's not true. I just like a very fair game and it annoys me when cheating happens.
Otherwise I won't be back if Jesse's away next time.
I think so.
Yeah.
She once hit producer Sammy in this because he wouldn't give her the answer, and
he, weirdly, has a concussion.
Oh, my now stop.
He's not working on the show.
Love you, Sammy.
Oh, that's Sammy. Sorry. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Sammy. No. I'll never mention it again. Sorry, he was whimpering. Sorry. Anyway, Leroy, good luck, bro.
So I believe it's 3-0. Is that correct?
Whatever you think, man.
Yep. Righto. First song. Here we go.
Barry.
Barry.
It is Usher. One. Caught Up. I
can't figure it out. Nice. Why I'm so caught up. Got me feeling it. Caught up. Righto, Tommy needs to catch up here.
Yeah, go on, good.
Number two. Good little segue.
He's a fast learner.
Here we go. Number two.
Harry. Poker Face Gaga.
Tommy, this is your chance.
I would like to hear it again, please. Oh, na na, ra 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 da da. Simple Romance.
Oh, cool. I can't give it to you. You've had a few of these.
Bad Romance.
Oh, Bad Romance. God,
wait till Jesse hears that there's commentary involved when Leroy does it.
I know. The levels that we didn't realise could be reached. It's really, you know what it's done too? It's taken a bit of anger and tension out of the air. Could be because Carrie's winning.
So 1-0 after awesome. Two. Here we go.
Oh, Tommy.
This is your chance, mate.
Yeah, it's buddy. It's our guy. It's the guy on his knees. It's a Queen Stay. It's called Stay. And his name is, it's not Benjamin Button. But come on, give me
you know,
a it's
I'm
Benson.
David.
Benson.
Boone.
Boone. That's correct. Thank you.
Stay. I want you and me to walk up.
And hello to Boonie, who's a big fan of the show in Hobart.
Is that true?
Yes, love it.
Very good.
All right, great so man. One all after three. Here we go.
Oh, sorry. It is.
Oh, no, she's panicked. Oh, no.
Biggest. Hot in here?
Oh, no, she's panicked. Come on, buzz her out.
Do you need the artist?
Buzz her out.
Very good.
Oh, what do you mean? You just got him to give you Boone as the answer and you're asking him to buzz me out.
Well, you knew that I knew the song.
That doesn't mean I knew that song then. I couldn't just work out who sung it. See, the rules are different for
no,
you than me.
No, but we call him Benjamin Button.
2-1. The last one's worth 10,000 points so anyone can win. Here we go.
Harry. It is.
Three.
It is. I know. Two. It's Troy Sivan. Got me started. What? Why are you laughing at me?
The boss wins.
Well done, boss. Everybody crap or they get hit.
Stop saying that.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.